It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hockersmith and Greg Pickle with you again. We are feeling optimistic here in spring. We're moving ahead, yes, looking at spring practice for Penn State, building up to, of course, the blue-white game, which becomes a little bit more of a recruiting extravaganza even now than it was before, with some visits probably happening there. But I just want to get your feel, Greg, on what you want to see accomplished and what the items are on the checklist this spring. And, you know, I think the guys at the Center Daily Times did a cool thing. They looked at the breakout candidates, and there's probably more names than the ones they brought up, a couple of linebackers, but we'll look at that component of it too, because that's usually proven pretty reliable. Guys who have been the big buzz of spring have generally turned into pretty good players on the field too.
Absolutely, no question about it. Yeah, I mean, I think that the one guy I'm watching for, and I've talked about this before, is Ether Gross Matos. I think he's going to be a star this spring, the Juwan Johnson of this year compared to last year when Johnson really took a step forward. So I expect to see big things from him. I mean, everyone's going to want to see what Miles Sanders can do. I think you've seen him in a lot of Penn State's promotional videos from winter workouts. I don't think that's a mistake. They're certainly grooming him to be following in Saquon Barkley's footsteps, so that'll be good. But I want to see what he looks like, no question about that. I think that you want to see if there's any changes along the offensive line, any guys that move around there. I think that you'll look and maybe see if there's any changes at center, at guard. Do they flip-flop anyone around? So it'll be interesting. There's a lot to watch for. There's no question about it. And I can't believe we're almost back to spring practice, Dustin. It feels like the Fiesta Bowl just ended.
Yeah, and I think whenever you have nor'easter and snow happening, it doesn't quite feel like spring.
Yeah.
So it hasn't felt like spring. Spring will be in the air for sure. Micah Parsons, obviously everybody wants to get their first look at him in pads. And, you know, I think so far him having enrolled in January and getting on that trajectory to playing a role at middle linebacker, whether that's a starting role or not, it's kind of built up the hype a little bit for him. And he seems to have backed it up in every single way. And the thing that I think is encouraging for everybody is that he gets this rap going through the recruiting process. Maybe he enjoyed it a little bit too much. Maybe he led people on or whatever. But I don't think there's anything prima donna about him. And you've seen in winter workouts that looks to be the case, that he's working just like everybody else. I don't think there's a real football ego there. And if that continues to hold true, I think you could see some pretty special things from him right away in the spring, looking at practice and the blue-white game, too.
Yeah, you know, one of the questions that's been floated out there is Ellis Brooks going to be the guy that replaces Jason Kabinda? I mean, to me, you don't put Micah Parsons there if you don't think he's the guy that's going to replace Jason Kabinda. I mean, nothing against Ellis Brooks. We haven't seen a lot from him. Obviously, he redshirted last year, so we're going to see more this spring than maybe we have in the past. But, I mean, to me, Dustin, you don't bring Micah Parsons in January and say on the day he signs in December that you're going to put him at middle linebacker unless you're pretty darn sure he's going to be your middle linebacker. It just doesn't make any sense. They would put him at defensive end if they didn't think he was going to be a middle linebacker. So to me, I think that you're going to see him come in and really rise up the ladder quickly. I think we've already seen that a little bit listening to Dwight Gault a few weeks ago. So I think he's exactly as advertised. And you know what? Penn State has not had too many five stars come in necessarily and be that kind of guy. It seems pretty clear, though, that Micah Parsons is going to be that kind of guy.
I'm not sure it's a 100% black and white, all or nothing kind of deal. I think there's a good chance, if Micah Parsons is your starting middle linebacker, there's a really good chance that Ellis Brooks is going to see the field, not only in a reserve role, because they will go six deep in that rotation, but also I fully expect Micah Parsons to vacate that the traditional, you know, in the middle kind of role and get after the passer, to see different kinds of packages that make use of Parsons' all-around skills. I think you could see both of these guys, I think, is the point.
Yeah, no question about it. I think that when you look at what Penn State's able to do, Dustin, I think that you'll see Parsons move around a little bit more, maybe go down at end every now and again for the pass rushing nature, and then you'll bring in Brooks. Brooks. Well, he's home played a lot of 4-2-5, so you might not see the traditional middle linebacker stuffing the run that you've become accustomed to at Penn State. Not that it's going to go completely away, because they can't in the Big Ten, but I think you're going to see a lot of guys out there that can run. It's just what they've recruited. It's what they want. It's the kind of defense that Brent Pry and his defensive coaches want to play. So you're going to see guys out there that can move a lot. There's no question about it.
Which kind of brings up another point, and it's fresh off the NFL Combine. Speed.
Yeah.
Team speed, I think, we framed it around Parsons and, Lamont Wade, some of these guys that are moving. But team speed is something that could even get ratcheted up another notch.
Yes.
And you'll see it on the field this spring. I think the one storyline that's going to keep following Penn State around, obviously, is what happens with Tommy Stevens. He's set to graduate after the spring semester, and at which point he'd be able to freely transfer if he wants. So this spring, what does it look like for him? What's he doing? How optimistic is he? How the question is going to be asked again and again and again, I'm sure, because everybody has a responsibility to ask the question. But you won't be able to forget about this storyline, I guess, is the point, all spring long.
Really? Are you sure? You don't think we'll be talking about this next week and the week after that and maybe
again,
the week after
again
that?
Again and again. Yeah. Almost ad nauseum. But I've been down this road before. Like, you, members of the media, you have to ask the question again and again. Even if you know
right. You're
never going to get the answer, you
Correct. Have
to ask the question.
Yeah, no. About it. I think that when you look at what they'll have him do, I'm assuming they'll have him all over the place. He'll obviously be a quarterback. He'll take some reps at the lion position, whatever that entails, whether it's catching passes, taking handoffs, so on and so forth. The one thing I'll be curious to see, though, is how active he is at the Blue White game. And that's because a number of things. Number one, you'd like to see what you have behind him and Trace McSorley, so you wonder if they'd give more reps to some of the other quarterbacks on the roster. At the same time, this is a guy that wants to play quarterback, so it'll be curious to see. We're going to keep talking about it. There's no question about it, because at the end of the day, what Tommy Stevens decides to do, stay or go, will have a big impact on Penn State's season in 2018.
Yeah, definitely will, especially that versatile piece, not just the future of the quarterback position, but his actual impact in 2018, I think, is something that Penn State could use. Talking Penn State football here on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Sticking on the offense, Greg, I'm really curious to see what happens with the wide receiver spots. Are we going to get some breadcrumbs there to suggest any kind of pecking order, any kind of, maybe who's in the lead for the slot role, how they plan to deploy these guys? And obviously, without Justin Shorter on campus, there's going to be a big looming question beyond the spring.
Right.
But I still think that their intentions will sort of be made known, especially when it comes to the slot. What are they going to do there?
Yeah, no, it's a fair point. I think when you look at it, you have a couple of candidates. I'm assuming DeAndre Tompkins stays outside, or does he move back inside? KJ Hamler could play the slot role. Matt Kippenhammer, who's tearing it up a little bit on the baseball diamond for the Lions, is doing obviously going to be in contention for that spot. So we'll have to wait and see how it all plays out. I think that they have options. There's no question about that. But you make a really good point in that we're not going to have a complete picture of the wide receiver group until the summer, because it's very hard to believe that Justin Shorter won't be a part of the conversation to start. So I think that, we'll have to find out. Brandon Pohl, KJ Hamler, probably your leading slot guys, with Hip and Hammer maybe moving in there. I think Tompkins probably stays outside at the Z. So we'll have to wait and see. But the other thing, too, is, the one thing I thought that was interesting, Dustin, was that Joe Moorhead made pretty clear that he didn't care who was in there. It was almost like they just rolled guys through. It wasn't about your production. It was about the unit's production. Josh Gattis always preached that, too. Does anything change with Ricky Ronnie and David Corley? I would think probably not, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, I think having new assistants in those spots has potential to create some change. But really, I think that's a team philosophy, a program philosophy, that should stick around through Ricky Ronnie, is that, you have a bunch of playmakers and you can mix and match, and finding mismatch situations comes in all kinds of shapes and sizes. So all those guys can do some special things. I'll be curious to see how. I still think DeAndre Tompkins moves inside, but I'll think that until I'm proven wrong. The tight end position is another big one. I think that, you know, you can probably draw some, start to draw some conclusions about who's in the lead, not based on what happens in the blue-white game, but what do they do in practice? Who are you seeing that gets more meaningful reps than others? What's James Franklin saying about these guys? Because all bets are off. Jonathan Holland was a star in the blue-white game last year. You didn't see hardly any reps at all from him, which was a surprise. And from our point of view, it was especially surprising to not think, like, okay, you know, this is Mike Gesicki's last year. What's the plan after that? And to not approach it as such last year and give some other guys some more reps was a little surprising, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that was one of the problems that we've talked about, is that we thought that somebody would come along and eventually spell Mike Gesicki a little bit, or at least let him come off the field. Doesn't it just never worked out that way? For whatever reason, it just never got to the point where they felt comfortable enough to take him out of the game. So more often than not, unless it was a blowout and you saw John Holland come in, it was Gesicki, Gesicki, Gesicki. So you never really got the feeling that these guys are someone they believed in, which doesn't mean that won't, it's going to have to change this coming year, but you would have liked to see more for sure. We'll see what Zach Kuntz can do. I think getting him on campus is key. I still question whether he's going to be able to put the weight on quick enough to be involved in the conversation to play this year, but you never know. It doesn't take much to be in that conversation, especially if the guys that are there don't step up.
Yeah, I think there are some openings. So if a guy like that who's definitely, I would say, is the most dynamic when it comes to just being a route runner, pass catcher type, but
yeah.
I do have questions, especially when he's listed in the 230 range. One of the things that you mentioned, I think it was last week, was the offensive line. Is there anybody who's going to make any kind of move? You know, you think there's a chance that McGovern might move out of center. You might start to see some things around there, but you do, at this time of the year, you'll see guys working out at different spots, swing players in particular. So it might not be ironclad, but I'm curious what comes out of that.
Yeah, I am too. I think that, again, you could see some guys shift around a little bit. It would make sense if you were able to maybe, again, slide Michael Mennett in the center, slide McGovern back out to guard, but we'll have to wait and see. They're not going to do anything that impacts the, you know, they're going to put the best five out there. So is Mike Miranda one of those? We've heard so much about him. Does he continue to make the step forward to get into the lineup? We'll have to wait and see. There's a lot of things for Penn State to figure out at this point. I think the other one is, you know, we're talking mostly about the offense here, but there's a lot of questions on defense too. There's no doubt about that. So I think that this will be a spring where maybe in years past they knew what they had and they had to fill a few spots, but not that many. This year, Dustin, they have their work cut out for them. There's a lot of things to figure out between now and the start of the 2018 season.
Two other ones, defensive tackles with what's Fred Hansard? What's that?
Corey Bowles
hype machine?
Too,
yeah. Corey Bowles. What are we going to see from them? And at the safety spots too, Lamont Wade making his debut back there. What are we going to learn? What are we going to hear? What are we going to see there? There's a lot to try and figure out. We'll start to get some breadcrumbs this spring. We're going to move on. We talked about wide receivers a little bit. We're going to look at the depth chart there in 2018, just a little bit deeper down the line. That's coming up right after this.
Hi, this is Scott Shirley, Executive Director of Uplifting Athletes. I'd like to personally invite you to join us for a very special event. Coach James Franklin will be coming to Stocks Manor in Mechanicsburg on Thursday evening, March 15th. Come hear Coach Franklin speak about building a winning team and learn more about the work that Uplifting Athletes is doing for the rare disease community. There will be appetizers, drinks, and photo opportunities. Please go to upliftingathletes.org where you can register for tickets. We hope to see you there.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
The harsh rain and wind ahead will be very tough on your roof. Prepare for the season by showing your roof you give a shingle and call Long Roofing. That's Long, L-O-N-G, the name that's been trusted by families across the Mid-Atlantic region for more than 70 years. Right now, you will get free gutters with your roof replacement from our friends at Long Roofing. Give them a call today for a free estimate on your roof at 844-405-LONG. That's 844-405-L-O-N-G.